The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of the Steve Austin Show is sponsored in part by DDP Yoga. Working hundreds of matches over the years, it ain't no surprise, especially to me, that Diamond Dallas Pages has taken its share of bumps and bruises. Dude is beat to shreds. Well, it turns out my buddy, DDP Diamond Dallas Page, knows all about the wear and tear because he'd been there and he did that. And that's why he created the DDP Yoga Fitness System. It's designed specifically to burn fat, reduce pain, and heal from injuries, the same injuries you may have suffered in your life doing work. Listen, Dallas is so damn positive that you'll absolutely love the DDPY program and using the DDPY app that he's doing something he ain't never done before. He's going to give you 7 days free to try it out. That's a week to try the program, explore the app, and own your life, and it's completely free. The DDP Yoga Now app has everything. It tracks your weight, all your workouts, how many calories you burn, and Dallas himself sets you up for weekly success by giving you an easy schedule to follow that includes his tips for success. If you're more old school and you prefer DVDs over the DDPY app, that's cool. They got the DVDs. But when you buy the DVDs, you still receive 3 months free on the DDPY app to check it out. Bring yourself up to the new school. It's technology, people. Just for listeners of the Steve Austin Show, you can save 20% off an annual membership for the DDP Yoga Now app of any DVD pack. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get started. And don't forget to take advantage of the free 7-day trial on the DDPY app so you can see for yourself everything this app has to offer. You'll be amazed how much better you'll feel after only 7 days with the program. So what are you doing? Stop wasting time and download the DDP Yoga Now app and make this year the year you get serious about health and get fit. Let DDP Yoga Now help you set your goals, take control, and own your life.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
From Hollywood, California, by way of the Broken Skull Ranch, this is the Steve Austin Show.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, here's Steve Austin.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the main streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting over here at 317 Gimmick Street, about to open up a can of audio whoop ass, talking with the star maker, Kenny Bolin. Kind of talking about season 8 of The Walking Dead, shooting a breeze, having a bullshit session, and talking about his new YouTube channel, which you guys got to check out. Now, when we're talking about The Walking Dead, I didn't make a bunch of chronological notes, nothing like that. We're just shooting a breeze off the cuff, off the top of our head. I'm not going to make a bunch of notes to talk about The Walking Dead. I know the things I like and the things that I don't like. Nonetheless, totally enamored with season 8. You'll hear my thoughts about it, some inconsistencies, some of my character quirks, some of the headaches and hassles they got going on there, but what a damn show. And as you'll find out in the podcast, man, I tell you what, my wife, Kristen, finally talked me into watching a show on Netflix called Ozark. Man, I tell you what, that's a damn good series. I'm on episode number 5 tonight. I think there's 10 episodes in the first season, and I'll go into season 2. Long story short, it's about a dude from Chicago who launders money. Some shit goes down. He's got to go down to the Ozark and continue his trade. I'm not going to give you any more spoilers other than giving you what it's about, but I was very skeptical when my wife said I would like this and it's that damn good. As a matter of fact, my wife recommended Ozark to Ted Fowler 361, our good friend. Teddy loved it. So anyway, I'm on episode 5 of season 1. And if you're looking for something to watch out there, man, I tell you what, Ozark right now for me is hard to beat. Kenny's going to give me something later on the podcast to watch, but you got to listen to that once the podcast happens. Anyway, man, Callie just joined me. Come here, Callie. She just joined me over here. She's been raised in hell, jumping in a swimming pool, running through the house like a javelina. This dog is absolutely crazy. Now she's drinking out of the toilet. I don't know why she does that. We flushed the toilet. We got water bowls down for them. But that dog, for being a city slicker, is about as country as they come. Callie, get your ass in here. Well, I tell you what, folks, I don't know what happened this week. I think Friday I came down with the flu or something. I was laid up in bed for about 3 days. I got up and I moved around a little bit, but basically I was bedridden. Some kind of virus, bug, bacteria, or whatever it was, just stomped a mud hole in my ass and walked it dry. I was selling like a sumbitch. Badass headache, achy, body felt like shit, feverish, didn't really register temperature, but I just felt hot, just miserable. Zero appetite, didn't hardly eat shit, didn't lose a damn pound. I got on a scale this morning. I figured, hell, just from being sick and not eating, I probably lost 4 pounds. Hell, I think I stayed the same if I didn't gain a pound or two. I didn't eat shit, so I don't know how that happens. Nonetheless, I'm making a comeback today. Pardon me if I sound a little bit foggy. Not because I've been drinking, because I got my ass kicked by the flu or whatever the hell kicked my ass today. But anyway, today's me and Kenny Bolin shooting a breeze about The Walking Dead. Probably still my second favorite behind Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was that good. Ozark's kicking ass. And there's another show I'm fixing to start watching. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, man, I tell you what, I got signed on to do another appearance at WrestleMania 34 down there in New Orleans, Louisiana. And it turns out I'm going to be appearing on Saturday, April 7th, and Sunday, April 8th. I think those are the dates. Whenever the day of WrestleMania is and the day before WrestleMania. We sold out all the things for Sunday. There was a high demand for another day, so we hooked one up. So I'll be there Saturday and Sunday, and I know the Sunday appearance starts at about 9 a.m. I'll get you the 411 on the Saturday appearance as soon as I get it. Doing this with Russell Kahn, High Spots. I'm looking forward to going down and seeing everybody, man. I don't do very many appearances, and so I wanted to go down to New Orleans because I love New Orleans. I want to eat some Cajun food, and I want to have a good time, and I just wanted to hang out and see a lot of the guys and gals from the business of pro wrestling and to meet all the fans. So I'm going down there. I probably won't do another appearance for a couple years after this, and that's just because I don't do too many appearances. But I'm looking forward to going down there in New Orleans. And I'll be there on April 7th and April 8th, signing autographs, taking pictures, shaking hands, and all that stuff. Anyway, folks, I'm going to keep this open short. I'm fixing to head back to the house, trying to recover a little bit, get ready for my first workout in about 3 or 4 days. That damn bug has been kicking the shit out of me. So I'm going to try to rest up and get me a swell on this evening. I might even blow that off and wait till tomorrow. All is well. I'm not looking for your sympathy. I'm just saying I got a mud hole stomped in me and walked dry by a damn virus. Yep. Even the toughest SOB in the history of the WWF gets his ass handed to him every now and again, this time in the form of a virus. Damn near got color, laying there in the bed. But before I get to Kenny Bolin, shooting a breeze, talking about The Walking Dead, let me get you people up on keeping your family safe, at home, and on the go with ADT, which is what I use. Get yourself an ADT starter kit and security camera installed free. That's a $449 in savings. Plus, you'll get ADT Go, the new family mobile safety app and service with 24/7 emergency response. Just go to ADT.com/podcast today to take advantage of ADT's best offer. Included with 36-month monitoring contract, easy pay, and QSP. Early termination and activation fees apply. Additional charge for ADT Go premium services after 3/31/18. Certain markets excluded. Licenses excluded. Licenses available at ADT.com. Offer ends April 1st.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia, host of Chasing Glory here on Podcast One. Every week I'm talking to the biggest athletes and entertainers about their journey to success.
Did you hear this week's episode?
Stephanie McMahon is on Chasing Glory.
Thanks for having me, Lillian. That was quite an introduction.
The highs.
Let me just say that announcing the first ever Women's Royal Rumble was one of my most memorable moments.
And the lows.
I've almost been fired numerous times. It hasn't always been pretty.
This week, I keep it real, raw, and inspiring with WWE's Stephanie McMahon. Everything you want to know and didn't know.
What do you feel like having 3 daughters for Triple H has meant to him?
Make sure to subscribe and download new episodes every Monday of Chasing Glory with me, Lillian Garcia. You can get it exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, or on the all-new Podcast One app.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
Oh, shit. Well, here we go. I'm rolling sound. I'm counting down. Okay, 3, 2, 1. That was bullshit. I got Kenny Bowling over here in Kentucky, Louisville. Man, we've been wanting to talk for a while and about Walking Dead, and I don't know how in-depth we're going to actually go into this conversation, because if Kenny's brain is half as scrambled as mine, I've been hitting the head with so many damn steel chairs. And Kenny, on our phone call that we made a while ago, I just got finished having my ass handed to me for about the last 3 days. I don't know if it was a bug, the flu, or whatever, but something stomped a mud hole in my ass and walked it dry. And holy smokes, today's about the first day I kicked out. I had a headache right there on top of my head. I was eating Tylenol like they were going out of style. I laid in bed for damn near 3 days, Kenny. Didn't move a muscle. I'd get up every now and then, go to the bathroom, and then take my ass back to bed. So today's my first day back in action, my friend.
Damn, that is, I was just talking with some friends of mine. I've got several lady friends that always have migraines. And it's almost like they rotate turns getting them. Steve, I'll be 58 next week. I don't know that I've ever really had a migraine headache in my life, and then you tell me that you get this.
No. Mine weren't classified as, it's not classified as a migraine. I had the flu and a slight fever. It broke last night. Hell, my pillow was soaking wet. It wasn't technically a migraine. It was just part of one of the symptoms that I was getting my ass handed to me. Now, here's the thing, Kenny. Whether there's a virus or a bacteria, little bitty molecular, I don't know if you could see it underneath the microscope, but it stomped the shit out of me is what I'm saying. Anyway, I'm back. You know, not trying to be a white meat baby face and get some sympathy, Ricky Morton style. Hell, I fired up a comeback. I'm good to go here, kid.
Ricky Morton, the greatest baby face in the history of baby faces. There ain't nobody that can beg that crowd on his side. I'm so glad you threw that name out, because anytime anyone's talking about getting some baby face, what do you call it? Isn't it? What wouldn't be baby sympathy? Ricky Morton was the guy, man. That's funny that you bring that up.
Hey, you know, speaking of Ricky Morton, and speaking of tag team greatness, I always think of Bobby Eaton on the heel side of being kind of the opposite of what Ricky was on the baby side. And I keep hearing all these inductees going into the WWE Hall of Fame. I got a chance to talk to Ivory the other day. I'm happy for everybody. I don't know all of them right off the top of my head.
I love Ivory. Flashback.
Yeah, my point is, man, the Midnight Express has to go in sooner or later, and I'd rather it be sooner.
Let me tell you what, there's no secret to you. You know that me and Cornette are having our problems again. We patched things up for 12 days when my mother passed away. And if you don't mind, I'll tell the story here before we lead into the rest of this.
Oh, no, dude, this is nothing but a BS session. We're kind of rolling family-friendly, so just don't drop any F-bombs, but we're good on that. Yeah.
Oh, man, fans and friends. And you called me for a family-friendly show? I'm so honored.
A friend in need is a friend indeed, Kenny. I just got my ass kicked by a bunch of viruses. I was going to damn near bust out a blade and get some color.
Well, had you passed away with this flu, you know that I would have been forced to come into your bedroom with a knife, run it into your skull, just to make sure nothing bad happens later. You would have understood.
Walking Dead reference.
We'll get into that a little later. But no, Jimmy and I are having our problems. I accidentally put him on Vince Russo's show. And you say accidentally my ass, Kenny. You probably set him up. Me and Vince are doing our show, Bucket Full of Chicken Necks. And we were doing those every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. I am not a morning guy, but to help Russo out to do that show and to be on Podcast One, like I am here with you today, I was happy to do it. So the phone rings. My mother passed away 12 days earlier, and Jimmy and I patched things up, and we were okay. And so it's now day 12. Phone lights up, Jimmy Cornette. I'm doing Russo's show. I know he's going to keep calling because he figures I'm either somewhere else in the house, in the bathroom. He's going to call till I answer the phone. I said, Vince, I got to pick up this phone. I said, but he says, who is it? I said, it's Jimmy Cornette. Oh, my God, answer the phone. Answer that phone. I said, all right. I answered the phone. I said, Jimmy, Kenny Bowling here. I said, hey, I'm doing a podcast right now, but I will get back with you right after the show's done. Is that cool? Oh, my God, Kenny, I've told a lie today. I've told a vicious lie. How many lies have you told? I said, well, Jimmy, I'll get into you with how many lies I've told later. Doing a podcast. I'll call you back. All right, man, call me back. I told a terrible lie. And that was basically what happened. Vince is dying. and I've realized what I've just done. I've just put Jimmy Cornette on Vince Russo's show. You know enough of that heat to know that ain't cool. And now I'm sick. I'm going, oh my God. I just put Cornette on Russo's show. He's going to kill me. Russo's begging me for permission to put Cornette's voice on that show. I know I don't have to give him permission because it's Russo's show. Bucket full of chicken necks and eat the bowling alley. So I'm going, oh, God. He says, Kenny, just blink if you're going to give me permission. And I go, and I'm just staring dead at him. I won't blink. And then finally I do blink. And there it is. There's the permission I needed. And so now the show has become how sick I am over that I've put Jimmy Cornette's voice on the Vince Russo show. And that's become the show. I'm just Steve, I'm doing this stuff. I'm just laying my head down. And you just tell I'm physically sick because now I know I've probably ended me and Jimmy again. No, Kenny, don't be ridiculous. He's not going to end his friendship with you over this. So finally the show ends and I call Jimmy and we talk and we're cool for about 30 minutes. And then he said, by the way, he said, what podcast were you doing? I said, me and Russo. You still speak to him? I said, you know damn well I still speak to him. I said, don't be stupid. I said, you know I was doing Russo's show. Wait a minute. You put me on Vince Russo's show? You kind of put yourself on. I just answered the phone and told you I'd call you back. I didn't tell you to talk. God damn. You know, and then he goes off. And he's calling me every name in the book. And why didn't you put it on pause? I said, well, I didn't have that control. Vince Russo had control. So he loses his mind. And he says, tell me you ribbed me. I said, I'm not ribbing you, Jimmy. I said, but I don't think Vince will put you on the show. I think he's just messing around. I don't think he's going to put your voice on the show. Are you ribbing me? I said, I'm not ribbing you, Jimmy. And then he hangs up. And I never heard from him again. And that was January the 17th, because it was 12 days after my mom passed away. Never heard from Jimmy again. And that's that.
So you guys got shoot heat after you almost put it back together. And then all of a sudden he calls and his voice was on Vince Russo's show.
He got lost his freaking mind because his voice was on Vince Russo's show. And I was sitting there thinking, Vince can put his voice on the show anytime he wants. Like, Steve, if you wanted to insert a 8-second clip from someone else's show, you can do that, right?
I guess.
I think you can, from what little bit I know about this industry. I think you can put about 8 seconds of anybody on you want. Oh, by the way, on CNN, Steve Austin said this. I think you can run that. Here's something Donald Trump said earlier today. I think you can run that. You see the networks do it all the time. They'll play each other's stuff or from a show. And then I think you got X amount of seconds that you can run anything you want. So Russo, just to finish this up, this happened at 11 o'clock in the morning. At 5:19, I remember looking at the clock because I'm still sick because I know that me and Jimmy's friendship's over again. 5:19, the phone rings. He says, bro, and you know Russo.
Yeah.
Bro, I've been thinking about it. I'm not going to be the one to break you and Jimmy up for a second time because, you know, the first time we broke up because I told him to swear out an EPO on Jimmy so Jimmy wouldn't go down there to Evansville and kill him. I didn't want Russo dead, and I didn't want Jimmy in jail. So I thought I'd give him the best advice I could give under the situation. So, bro, I'm not going to air that clip, but I am going to air the 40 minutes of you being sick and all your facial expressions after you realized you'd put Jimmy on my show. I said, I don't care, Vince. I said, we're done. What do you mean you're done? I told him that I put him on, and he lost his mind, and he hung up, and we're done. Oh, surely to God he'll lighten up in a day or two. He won't. We're done. And it's now, what's the date today, Steve? March the
5th.
It's over. he will never be back. So easy come, easy go, I guess.
Well, I hope you guys hash out your differences.
Maybe if you threaten to put an old-fashioned Steve Austin whooping on him and maybe...
I'm not going to threaten Jimmy Cornette with nothing. He'll cut a promo on me that would last for 6 days. He used to grind my gear so much when I watched him on TV as one of my favorite managers of all time with the Midnight Express. No, I'm not going to get in a promo war with Mr. Jim Cornette. That is between you and him.
Well, I would think if anybody could hold their own with little Mr. Cornette, that you might be the guy. But
I could try to hold my own, but I don't want to hold my own. Jimmy.
Steve, if you just want to say I ain't got your back, Boland, just say I ain't got your back, all right? Just go ahead and say it.
No, you guys cannot be friends, and I'm still going to be friends with Jimmy and you.
Well,
how's that?
You will. And here's where I was going to go with this. I say put them in the Hall of Fame. I'm amazed that here they have Jimmy down there last year. That's where I became a Hall of Fame mentionee, by the way, when Jimmy mentioned my name during the Hall of Fame speech. I knew that was as close as I was ever going to get, regardless that I put 54 men into the WWE, and I don't mean to brag, but no one else is going to do it for me. So I say put them in. I mean, absolutely. I mean, who more deserving from a tag team standpoint? And I'll say this, even more deserving than the Rock and Roll. I'll say that. And this is a guy that hates me right now, but I say put him in. Oh my God, Bobby Eaton. Hell yeah, without a doubt. Dennis Condrey. Now you got to pick Dennis Condrey or Stan Lane.
No, I think all three of them go.
You think all of them?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously Jimmy. Is Jimmy already in the Hall of Fame?
No, he's a presenter. I'm a mentionee. That's all we got.
Oh well, I mean, all four of them need to go. Jimmy Cornette needs to go. Sweet Stan Lane, beautiful Bobby, love boy Dennis Condrey.
There you go. All right, I back you on that. I mean, yeah, there's heat between me and Jimmy, but common sense is common sense. You got to put them in. And I'm shocked I haven't seen their name come up this year. I thought this was the year he presents last year. Put him in this year. Now tell me this. Obviously, it won't be me who inducts him.
Would they put just Jimmy in or Jimmy and the Midnight Express?
I think it would be Jimmy and the Midnight Express.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I think it's the only way you do it.
Although, I mean, you know, Jimmy did have his career. But, you know, so you could make a separation there, but the Midnight has to go in. They were so close together and ran so much together. As a unit, they all go in.
Well, that's how I would do it, personally. Like you said, they were a unit. I don't think any of them would be as famous without the other. And how many people just managed primarily one team? Yeah, he had the Heavenly Bodies when he was doing Smoky Mountain and a couple other little botanical offshoot teams, as you might say. But he's known for the Midnight Express. His book was the Midnight Express. That's the best-selling book that he wrote. So, yeah, I would agree. I think they all three got to go in. But if not, you put Jimmy in this year, put the Midnight in there.
Hey, who wrote the Midnight Express? Is that a book?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the Midnight Express scrapbook, and it is just all kinds of great pictures. And here's something else. Here's a scoop for you. When I had dinner with Vince Russo for the first time down in Evansville, we had an autographed copy of Jimmy Cornette's book. And as a rib, because me and Jimmy weren't speaking at the time, my son took that book down to Vince Russo and had Vince Russo sign his name right next to Jimmy Cornette's name. That is the only book in the planet Earth that has both Vince Russo's signature and Jimmy Cornette's signature anywhere in the planet, I promise.
You guys just can't help but stir the pot. Hey, before we move on, Kenny, I want to ask you about it. You got a new YouTube channel about to debut tonight. Now, this
yes.
podcast is going to air on Tuesday. Today,
right.
as we're speaking, it's Monday. But tell folks about your YouTube channel and how they can tune in and watch and listen to what you're talking about.
Here's the easiest way to find it, folks. We have determined that Kenny Boland can't get along with anybody other than Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's apparently the only man on planet Earth I can get along with. I am no longer a part of Jim Cornette's podcast. I have resigned from the Russo Brand Network. I resigned from Jimmy's show last year. I've left a couple of other lesser shows. And I just get ticked off easy. And I when it comes to podcasting, I like everybody knowing their role and knowing their place. When I'm on Steve Austin's show, I know he's the star. He knows I'm the guest. We treat each other as such. And I like people to know their places and to know their roles. Well, I've had problems with that. So what fans have suggested to me for about the last 8 years is, Kenny, just get your own channel. And I didn't know how to do it. Well, I've had my son and a couple other people close to me that have helped me develop my own YouTube channel. It debuts tonight. We already have 250 some odd subscriptions for something that has no content on it. So, but we're going to build it. Trust me, we're going to get 5,000, maybe 10,000 real soon. Monday night at 9 o'clock was the debut. I'm going to beg my good friend Steve Austin here to give me a little tweet out later and urge some of you to come over and check us out tonight. And we're real excited about it. And also, we're going to have once a month, we're going to let eight. Tell me what you think of this, Steve. We're going to let eight guests come on the shows and join us. And they're going to have their own little boxes. You can do this on Google Hangouts. You can have 10 people on at a time. And whoever's talking, that's where the camera goes. So we're going to try that as an experiment. Russo's done it as an experiment and does it once a month. But we're going to do it live. We're going to do it on YouTube live. Fans join in. Nothing's off limits. Ask anything you want. Ask what I think about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Ask what I think about Jimmy Cornette, Vince Russo. Chris Jericho, whose show I did, who I love Jericho, by the way. And we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And I think it's going to work well. And I know my place. I've got my own little niche in the podcast world. And we got the big boys with Jericho and Austin, Vince Russo, Jim Ross. And I'm just looking forward to just being my own boss and my own guy. And thank you for bringing that up, Steve. I greatly appreciate it. And to find out how to click to it and to get to it, just go to my Twitter page, @StarMakerBolin, or go to Facebook, /StarMakerBolin. Trust me, there's links all over the place because I'm advertising the hell out of this thing. And we're hoping tonight is huge, but it's going to get bigger as we go. My Facebook live shows do very well. You know, for me, I mean, we get about 5,000 views a show, and that ain't bad for Facebook Live. And so we're very pleased with that.
What kind of stuff are you guys talking about, Kenny?
We talk about, Steve, the things that nobody should ever talk about on a podcast. We talk about current events. We talk about religion. We talk about a little bit of wrestling. We talk about, oh, my God, this is what got me in trouble with the Russo brand. We even talk about politics. We talk about whether we like Donald Trump, whether we don't like Donald Trump. We talk about Catholics and Baptists and Muslims and atheists, because there's representatives from all those just in my own family. So we figure there's some pretty good experts there. And we cover it all, Steve, but mainly religion, politics, current events, and a little bit of wrestling, just to keep it interesting.
So what makes you so interested in talking about religion and politics? Because they're so divisive.
They're divisive, and controversy creates ratings. I thrive for controversy, as you can tell. I guarantee you I've been on more podcast networks than anybody in the country. I look at my block list on Facebook and Twitter for a guy who basically is a loving, caring individual who will do anything for an animal, who will do anything for a human being who's just trying to do the right thing. You would think I'm the most hated SOB on the planet Earth because I know what I like. I know what I don't like. I stick to it. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't hide anything. And if you want to ask what I think, I will tell you. And Steve had me on the show earlier this year. I hope the show did good for you. I don't know how it did, but I had a blast. And that's kind of how I do it. I don't care if 35 people watch us on YouTube tonight. If those 35 had a good time and I had a good time, then that's good enough for me.
Yeah, you know, Kenny, I don't really get caught up in numbers. I know everybody back in the day when I first started, I was caught up in numbers like it was a competition or something. But as long as I enjoy the podcast, that's all I'll really, really give a damn about as far as how many downloads it gets. Now, to a point, does it mean something? Yeah, it does. But at the end of the day, you know, I got a show. If people dig it, that's cool. If they don't dig it, well, that's cool too. So I don't really worry about all that. Anyway, good luck to you on that.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. And when we're done here tonight, if you can give me an old hell yeah on air and motivate some people over to watch the bowling alley, I'd greatly appreciate that.
I'll help you out with a tweet as well. All right, let's take a quick pause for the calls and give big ups to True Car. Now, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for. But what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people pay for the same car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so that they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. You're also going to need car insurance for that new vehicle. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars in car insurance at GEICO.com. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today.
Hey everyone, I'm Wade Keller, and it's WrestleMania season. So be sure to subscribe to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast here at Podcast One. I produce two new shows each week. Every Thursday on our flagship show, I'm joined by a co-host from the wrestling journalism field to talk about the hot topics in WWE and elsewhere. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck, talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen chosen one? He did. And I was frank with him. And I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as the perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
I'm sure if you asked Ronda, she'd probably say that this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or on the Podcast One app or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
All right, before we get to the rest of my interview with Kenny Boland talking about The Walking Dead, here are some words from our sponsor. Flap, pustule, jowls, nugget, gurgle, smear, curd, bulbous, tender, dongle, pork, moist. Hey man, whether you're a construction worker, warehouse worker, or even a podcast host, if you hear certain words on the job site, it can make work uncomfortable. So at least get work gear that's comfortable. Timberland Pro, work shirts, pants, and boots, head to toe. Timberland Pro, not uncomfortable.
This is the Steve Austin Show.
Let's talk loosely a little bit about Season 8 of Walking Dead, because we were talking about this a while back, and you were pretty enamored with Season 8. And I tell you what, man, give me your breakdown so far on Season 8, because I think I probably missed the last episode.
Oh, you haven't seen the last one yet? Oh, my.
I think it was the last one I saw was on the 25th.
Well, this is the year that it's all kind of coming to head a little bit with Negan and Rick. And I just got a big thrill. There's a bogus Rick Grimes thing out there that's got like 280,000 followers. And it started following me the other day because I talk so much about Walking Dead. So even though it obviously ain't the real guy that plays Rick Grimes, I was thrilled to have this thing out there with 280,000 followers that was interested in my plugs of The Walking Dead. Let's do it together, Steve. Let's kind of break it down, because what really got us talking about this is how down the babyfaces have been, Rick's team, how down they've been. And you told me the last time we talked, and I can't remember if we did it on air or off the air, but we talked about when are the babyfaces going to make a comeback. The babyfaces have been down too long, and people are going to lose interest if the babyfaces don't do something with these damn heels. So let's kind of break this down together, kind of jog each other's memory as to what happened in the first 8 shows of Season 8, because now we're into the second breakdown. And by the way, there's going to be one of the characters that's going to spill over into Fear the Walking Dead. I don't know if you watch Fear or not, because I do, and it's very good as well.
Well, man, one of the things that's bothered me about this season was just in the last few episodes, because, hell, I can't hardly remember back to the first part of Season 8. Every damn episode starts with a long monologue by Rick or Maggie or somebody talking about they just got to keep hanging in there. And it's just like, come on, man. Yeah. They just keep talking on and on and on. This is pathos and this is humanity. And, you know, now they're kind of, you know, like hell, in the last few episodes, when they Jesus and those guys captured all those cats and they wanted to bring them into the compound. Which compound is that? One Maggie's running.
Dadgummit. I know the...
Hilltop or Sanctuary? Not Sanctuary.
That's Hilltop.
Hilltop. Right. Well, whatever. It's like all these guys been kicking the shit out of them and getting all this heat on them. And now, all of a sudden, Jesus is, you know, this is not who we are. You know, they bring them in.
Killing baby faces left and right, brutally, nastily, doesn't care how the age, the sex, the religion, and they're just brutalizing the baby faces. And now the baby faces have a chance to shove it right back down their throat. And you're right, Jesus is there. We're not going to do that. This is not what we are. Maggie kind of feels differently, does she not?
Yeah, she feels differently. And then it's like, like how they got her. They finally got her a gimmick name. They call her the Widow. You know, see, that works good, because Maggie, you know, for a while she was really over with me. Now she kind of gets on my nerves, but at least she's got a cool gimmick name with the Widow.
Yeah, we're in agreement there. She now gets on my nerves a little bit too.
So why is she getting on your nerves?
in wrestling terms, she rose to prominence too quickly. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see why she was the chosen one.
I don't understand that, but there we go. We agree on that. And in wrestling terminology, it's probably a little bit of the heat that Roman Reigns had when he come in. People didn't think that he earned his spot. People didn't think that he had done enough quality work to earn the position that he was given. Well, if there's anybody that fits that on the show The Walking Dead, because that was the main thing you and I wanted to talk about, was the parallels of what it's almost booked like a wrestling show. The Walking Dead. And I don't think Maggie has the resume to have the title that she's got. The widow? Why she, you know?
Well, it's just like all of a sudden basically her and Glenn were married or they were a unit. And so she's pregnant. She is pregnant with this kid, right?
Yes. And were they married?
Well, I don't know if they were technically married, but we knew that they were a family. They were together.
Then again, there's only one damn preacher in all of humanity and the entire planet. He's not marrying anybody,
They were a couple, is my point.
They were a couple.
So Negan bashes, Glenn's head in, his eyeball squirts out. And I was reading online that there was a lot of complaints about the violence, about how, Glenn was killed and what was the dude? The dude with the red hair?
The redhead dude, the soldier, dadgummit.
Daryl?
Wasn't Daryl?
not Daryl. Daryl's a guy with a crossbow. There was a lot of complaints about how brutal those kill jobs were. I was like, hey man, they're building up a hell of a set of heat. Anyway, going back to the widow, I just first of all of the acting across the board is awesome, but yes. I just didn't see how she came to a position of power just because I just didn't see it in her.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was talking about this with my son just a few days ago, is that from the bottom guy on the cast of The Walking Dead to the top guy, the acting is second to none. You're not watching this. I mean, I've watched this. There's a show called like Chicago Fire or some NBC show that has NBC has some of the worst damn acting. And me and Steve Austin have been in the wrestling business for pushing 30 years. We've seen some bad acting. But the acting that I see on this show called Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, whatever, every damn show's got Chicago in it on NBC anymore, it seems. And Steve, it is the worst predictable bad acting that I've ever seen on television ever. You watch Walking Dead, there's not anybody on there that's not doing Emmy Award quality work, in my opinion. These guys are top-notch right from top to bottom.
Here's another thing that's been bothering me. Rick, he's just gotten too soft. I don't know what's up with him. And then he's getting screwed by Negan every time he gets turned around. And then he gets hoodwinked, and he tries to do some business with Jadis, the leader of the Junkyard Gang. And so Jadis does a double swerve on him, when they think that, they're going to team up, when the Sanctuary, Negan and them come. And
I bought it.
It's a double F job there. And so... He always, Rick, and he's a tremendous actor, but he's always got that 1,000-yard stare in his face, and he's always got water in his eyes. And that's great when you go to that look just for a couple of times, but it's almost like every damn episode. Yeah. And I know the heels got to get some heat on the baby face, but when they make the baby face kind of look stupid for trusting everybody too much, then I think they kind of diminished the character of Rick.
I could not agree with you more. I was hoping to banter with you here on some of these things. We haven't got there yet because you're an episode or two behind, right? You did not see Sunday night show, right?
No.
Interesting show, the way it was laid out. It was done in a way. Even my son has really been bashing Walking Dead the last couple of three seasons and is really giving me some grief even over this season, which I haven't minded too bad. But this episode, Steve, I think you're really going to like. There's some interesting stuff with the junkyard dog, as we call her. You're going to like what you see there. And once again, Rick, Mr. Trustworthy, you're going to see the 1,000-yard stare because I think the same thing. I've seen enough of the damn 1,000-yard stare. I've seen enough of the watery eyes. I've seen enough of the sweaty hair. We can do it a time or two. Like you said, that's cool. But every damn episode for 16 weeks, I want something else. And I think we're about to get it. You need to see. You might be a show or two behind. But now, show one, have you seen the Carl episode yet? The 90-minute season premiere or part two season.
Holy
premiere.
Smokes, when Carl kicks a bucket and turns into a walker.
You're assuming you haven't seen it yet, have you?
Yeah, no. He turned into it. Well, he blows it. He does the deed himself.
He does the deed himself.
But here was my problem with that whole scenario.
Okay.
Okay. Him and what's the name of the Indian guy that he befriends?
I do not recall his name, but I know who you're
okay,
talking about.
Okay, but basically they go out on a little run.
He went out to save him. He did not want him.
He saved him, and he brought him back in. But then they just kind of arbitrarily, they want to go just kill a couple of walkers gratuitously. It wasn't like they were needed to be on a mission for death to go do some recon. They're just out there fiddling around, and all of a sudden, man, here comes the walkers out of nowhere, and they get swarmed. Yeah. All of a sudden, the kid gets a bite on the belly. Okay, they kayfabe that from us, and then they finally show when he goes into the bathroom, and he's got the bite mark on his stomach. He's going to turn. But see, the thing about Carl, who's been doing a hell of a job, he gets on my nerves a little bit, but he's doing a hell of a job, and so we're going to lose him because he's out there fiddling around, and he got bit by a walker doing something stupid. I just thought that was a real stupid move on his part. I mean, maybe they needed to get him out of the series or whatever. I'm not running the actor down himself.
No,
but
fine.
I just thought, as from a storyline standpoint, just to go out there and start trying to whack a few walkers, it's like there's only a couple of million of them out there. You're going to go kill a three or four of them and make a dent in them? It was stupid. And so the kid deserved to die.
I wasn't expecting that, but man, once again, I agree with you. They were fiddle-effing around, as you said. There's 2 or 3 million of them out there floating around in any one state, and the 4 or 5 he's going to kill are going to make a big deal. They weren't bothering anybody. I know you're a hunter. I know you're a hunter. But are you going to go out when there's 2 million walkers out there with your bow and arrow, your pistol, your gun, or whatever, your broomstick, or whatever the hell you got, just going out there looking for trouble when it doesn't need to be had? A lot of these animals and creatures that you search down, most oftentimes, they're not going to attack you, unless you're a bear hunter. I don't think you're a bear hunter.
Nope.
Maybe you are. you do that with your fist, though, don't you? You go out there and stun them damn bears. But he got what he asked for. Now, do you know the backstory about Carl?
No.
Do you know you're familiar with Negan, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Negan was pissed because here's the deal, and this made me mad. Not so mad that I quit watching the show, but mad enough that I wrote the legit Carl and I wrote the legit Negan and told him how I felt about this. Carl was assured that he had 3 more years on his contract. And let me know if you've heard the story or not.
I haven't.
Carl bought a damn home. He's like 18 years old. He's been on the show since he was 10. He's now 18. He buys him a home in Atlanta. He's going to school in Atlanta. He's going to go to college in Atlanta. Buys him a house, assured that he's got 3 more years on his contract, maybe more. They guaranteed him 3 more years. But what they did, he buys the house. And then, unbeknownst to him, he gets bit in the belly and he's off the show. What the hell?
They didn't smarten him up that they was going to take him out?
No, they didn't smarten him up, and Negan got pissed about it. The real Negan,
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jeffrey was hot. He says, the reason I came to this cast is because I'd read the comic book. I was assured that Carl and I had a very interesting story that we were going to tell, because in the comic book, I don't know if you know this, because it ain't going to happen now, Negan turns babyface, if you can believe this, and him and Carl become a team. Carl and him are tight as right and rain. And so that's where Negan thought this was going to go. And so now Negan's pissed, and he's all but said, that was kind of the reason I came here, but now I'm thinking, hey, you're Negan. You're one of the most famous SOBs on the planet Earth. What are you going to do now? Go do an appearance on Days of Our Lives for scale? What are you going to do? You better shut up. Like Carl, get eaten by a zombie and keep your damn job, because you're the biggest star on the show right now.
Yeah, but you're saying Jeffrey Dean Morgan got mad on a shoot?
On a shoot, yeah. He wrote like a 2-page deal talking about how pissed he was and that what he expected out of him and Carl, and that he thought Carl got screwed. And but Carl ain't said crap. Carl's been playing babyface. He even did Talking Dead and hugged everybody. And what a great opportunity.
Well, I mean, he's still a good kid. He's a white meat babyface.
So, he is.
He's taking a high road. But here's the thing.
Do you watch Talking Dead?
No, I don't watch this.
I love Talking Dead. And he's got a haircut now. He looks like he could actually get a job.
But see, here's the thing. When they did the episode where, you know, the kid gets bit on the belly, all of a sudden he leads them to the sewer. They're all down there. He saved them all, okay? They're bombing the whole place. Sorry, I got Callie over here making a cameo. So he saves them by leading them in the sewer, wrote them all a letter to tell them goodbye. And then it takes forever for him to finally transition into a walker. And I'm like, I'm looking at my damn watch. I'm thinking, this is the longest damn death scene in damn television history. Let him turn. And all of a sudden they show him and he's got this white makeup on. He's really about to turn. His eyes are starting to glaze over. And all of a sudden they jump cut and the kid's got the same complexion and his eyes are clear as day. I'm thinking, when is this mother effer going to die? You know, so I was like, I wanted to see some action. I am invested in the character, but I was just, they drug it on too much. And then when he started going into the philosophical soliloquies of him preaching to his dad, sometimes the children got to teach their parents. I mean, like, all that bullshit. I was like, come on, man. Yeah, the kid's 17, 18 years old. He gets bit in the belly by a walker, and he's going to preach to the old man who's been fighting wars. I ain't buying it.
Are you saying Russo wrote this episode? Is that what you're telling me? Did Russo write this one? No offense, Vince. You get blamed for everything. We're going to blame you for Walking Dead as well.
No, I just thought it was total bullshit, man. It was just they're bringing too much philosophy into this whole thing. You know, like I said, you know, with Jesus wanting to house the prisoners and
let me slow you down, Steve. You probably never heard a low-life bum like me say, Steve, let me slow you down.
No, slow me down.
His name is Jesus. I mean, we don't know he ain't the real one. His name's Jesus.
Oh, no, I'm glad you brought that up because here's another beef I had. And we're all over the place. You got season 8, and I don't know how many episodes is in the whole damn thing, but all of a sudden, Jesus starts throwing down with Morgan. We already know that Jesus, at a buck 30, has some martial arts skills. Morgan is lethal with that damn stick because he learned from the guy that he trained with before. Mm-hmm. So Morgan has the stick over like a mug. So all of a sudden they go to fighting toe to toe. And Jesus whips Morgan's ass.
What the hell?
I ain't buying that. A man without a weapon whips a man's ass with a weapon. Bullshit.
I don't know if you're a betting man or not. I don't know if you're a Vegas guy. Give me the odds going into it, because we heard there was going to be a fight with two of the characters that we weren't going to be looking for. Give me the odds. Jesus versus Morgan. We don't know crap about what's going to happen. Give me your odds on who's taking that fight and what the odds are.
Man, I don't know odds because I don't bet, but I'm betting on Morgan because he's a badass with a stick and he got his mentality back. Now, there for a while, Morgan, boy, you know, because I like Morgan from the get-go when him and Rick first met. But then when it went soft and decided he wasn't going to kill nobody and there's another way, that pissed me off. But now Morgan's back and he's full-on death patrol.
All right, now help me out on the girl's name. I should know her damn name. The gray-haired lady who's also Carol. Was a badass. Now her and Morgan decided they ain't killing nobody. We'll play cards. We'll play poker. We'll arm wrestle. We'll do something, but we're not going to kill anybody. And, of course, now we come to the bombing situation, and they both had a come to Jesus, so to say, even though Jesus ain't killing nobody, apparently. He's trying to save everybody that's been killing them. And now they've made the – so what do you think of where we're at now with Carol and Morgan? But that pissed me off, that fight, because I had Morgan should have had him down tickling his belly with that stick in about 8 seconds, the way I saw it. Buck 30.
Well, I mean, if you ain't going to sell nothing, nothing means nothing. So if Jesus ain't going to sell a stick, then I just can't dig it. Hey, man, maybe that's coming from a pro wrestling background, but you got to sell the stick.
I'm blaming Russo. I think he wrote it. I have no doubt.
What was another thing that chapped my ass? Jump in there if you got something, Kenny. What's going on with Michonne? Oh, Michonne's fighting up in the tower with that girl.
Yep.
And for a while, because Rick was getting his ass whipped down there.
Once again,
Yeah, once again, so you thought it was Michonne. And I'm thinking, okay, this chick who's got no camera time going against Michonne, who's one of my favorite characters on there, a legit badass. But they let us think that it was her that tumbled off, right?
That's what they tried to make us think. Now, any of the fans out there listening to the show today, if there's a damn one of you that can name who was whipping Michonne's ass, I'll give you a dollar.
Yeah, so, but anyway, the fight took such a toll out of her, she couldn't go on a mission the next day. So, and I forgot what happened after that, but I just didn't buy the fact that the chick comes in there and just starts putting a boost to Michonne because Michonne's a badass.
Yeah. And just a Southern redneck just comes up there. Now, no one knows probably Southern rednecks more than you do, but no Southern redneck's going to come. She's got a damn machete, for crying out loud. You're talking about where was the machete? Where was the machete?
Even if she didn't have the machete, Michonne has always been a badass.
Didn't need the machete, but yeah.
And I don't think she would drop her guard. Man, that was when they partnered up, teamed up with the people from the junkyard, and they pulled the swerve job on them.
Yeah.
And I just didn't think the people from the junkyard had them skills.
Now, what is the name of the main lady with the junkyarders? What's her? What do you think of her?
I like her character. I read an article about the way she speaks on that show today. I can't remember her name. I believe she's from not Scotland or something like that. She's really pretty. I think she's really effective in her role. I like the way that clan is very economic with their words.
Very
economic. So I dig her. There's some kind of mystique about her.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to give you any spoilers or anything, but the junkyarders are heavily featured in the next episode you're about to see. And that language comes up. And if you're ever going to watch A Talking Dead, that might be a good one to watch because that language is talked about in the how and why they came up with that. And because I didn't notice it so much until this episode, and then something happens, and then we get enlightened a little bit. So, like I said, I'm not going to ruin the episode for you because I think you're going to like this.
No, go ahead and ruin the episode for me. I want to hear how they came up with it.
How they came up with it? Well, they didn't really go into how they came up with it, but as to why is that they wanted to be their own people in their own world in their own place doing their own thing and didn't want to be anything like anyone else. And that's why they kind of came up with their own language and a shortened, edited version of what everybody else was doing. And that was kind of the reason behind it, because I couldn't figure out why they were all acting and talking that way either. But they wanted to be their own people, their own place, their own thing. We don't want to mess with you. Don't you mess with us. This is who we are. This is how we talk. You all are somebody else. And we're this. And that was kind of how that came to be. But something is going to happen in this episode that I want you to see to where that is going to change.
Now, what was the deal with Jadis and the junkyard people putting Rick in a shipping container and making him fight the walker with all the spikes and shit sticking out of him?
They haven't really gone into that, but is that where you got left off at, that he was naked in there? And
no, well, he goes through with the fight, and then somehow the walker gets his head cut off, and he's got Jadis right there, and that's when he seals the deal with her right then.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
I'm actually having trouble remembering how and why all that panned out. I saw the scene. I saw the episode, but I'm having trouble remembering what the payoff was out of all that. That's what got him his freedom, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But I don't, other than that, I don't remember why as to all that happened, because they got him naked and stuck him in the shipping cooler, which I thought that he just went there to talk a deal and they were either going to accept it or not and he was going to leave, but it didn't work out that way.
So then you got the story with the king. What's his name? The king? So we call him the king.
I call him the king.
And he's got the tiger.
And he's got a tiger. Oh, Steve, you're either going to lose any respect for me that you ever had, you're going to feel sorry for me, or you're going to end this call right now and just refuse to go on. I bawled like a bitch when Sheba went down. I didn't see it coming. I love that damn tiger. And when Steve, that's it. There's a recliner sitting right there. I bawled like a freaking baby. I was unconsolable. I had to call, my son called me and I'm crying. Dad, what's the matter? I was like, I can't talk about it right now. Come down to see me. He lives above me. He comes down. What's the matter? Sheba got killed. I'm just bawling. I can't stop it. I've never, and then thank God I'm seeing a boatload of people on social media who were also shocked and crying, and they're tore up, and the people on Talking Dead are all tore up. Steve, I don't know you real well, but I got a feeling you didn't cry when Sheva died.
No. You're right that I didn't cry, but did I feel for that tiger? Yes, I did, because, I mean, it was CGI like a mug, but yeah. I dug the tiger. It was a great gimmick for the king to have. And there's the backstory was, you know, back in the day when he was working in the zoo, you know, he took that tiger in and saved it from death.
Yeah.
And so then all these years later, he pays it forward and makes the save on the king and returns the favor. So, I felt for the tiger as well. Did I cry? No. But was I mad he got killed? Yeah.
Something happened with me over the last 8 or 10 years. Christopher wants to call it depression. I don't think so. I don't think I'm depressed, but he says that I cry easier than ever now. I think it's that I just care more than ever. And I cried over losing Jimmy as a friend on a podcast because I thought I could do it with not doing it. But when I started crying like an idiot, I let it keep going. And I said, all right, I'm going to bear it out. You're all going to see how I feel about this. I'm not going to cut the camera. And I blubbered like a bitch. And that's just who I've become. And my emotions are on my sleeve. And when that tiger died, yeah, it's a damn cartoon, but it got me. And I was unconsolable for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but the tiger was over.
He was over.
The tiger was over. And so you felt with the tiger, if you're an animal lover at all, which I am, I'm more of a dog guy than a cat guy. But yeah, I dug the tiger. It was a great gimmick. So I felt for the tiger, especially when you had all those walkers piled up on it. Here's the point I want to make. Okay. It should have taken about 10 or 15 more walkers to get that big-ass cat down, because that cat should have been swatting those things like crazy. And they should have given that cat a better death. Six walkers couldn't have killed that cat like that because they're so powerful and badass.
Well,
so that's one of the things that chapped my ass. And here's another thing. Starting from season like 1, 2, 3, the walkers were very slow and methodical. 4, 5, and 6, or 4, 5, you know, boy, I was on like ahead of them on human growth hormone and shit, because all of a sudden they was running like Olympians. They were fast. If you weren't running, they would catch you, because when the king gets his leg snapped, they're barely moving and they're walking right in front of the walkers, and the walkers is walking right behind them because that's the fastest they can go. But if it had been 3 seasons ago, the walkers would have just jumped all over them because that's how fast they move. So they haven't been consistent with the speed with which the walkers attack or walk.
There's a theory behind that. There's a theory.
Okay. Is this a shoot?
This is a shoot.
Okay.
You said you don't watch Fear, or you do watch Fear?
I do not.
You need to start watching it. And I advise you to go back from season 1, which only was 6 episodes. It builds. Season 1 is a building block, and then 2 and 3 get really good. So I strongly advise you give those a shot, especially if you ain't doing anything. But the theory is that the zombies and the walkers in Fear the Walking Dead are much fresher. There's hardly any decomposition. They move a little differently, and it's because they're fresh walkers. And so as we go on and the walkers are getting older and the deterioration sets in, they move differently, they react differently, and they look differently due to how old those zombies are. And Fear picks up from day one.
Okay.
And it's now leading to where they run in to Morgan. And this season, Fear the Walking Dead runs into Morgan. And they've caught up to where Walking Dead is. So that is why I encourage you to give it a shot. Chris says Fear's better than Walking Dead. And the characters, I'm not as invested into the Fear characters as I am, because I've now got 8 seasons wrapped up in Rick and Carl and Daryl and all. This might sound weird. I'm way more into the male characters than I am the female characters, other than Michonne. I love Michonne, but she's been the only female character that I've really gotten into.
Well, I like Michonne and I like Carol, because Carol's always about business. She'll kill us, that bitch.
Carol is about business, without a doubt. Okay, do you ever watch Divas?
No.
Nope.
I mean, I don't watch anything, Kenny.
Okay, well, Divas I watch because it's a train wreck. And Divas, and you're going to see where I'm going with this in a second, Divas makes me hate all of them. I despise them all because they just all come across as whiny little bitches, spoilt little punks.
Are you talking about the WWE show?
Yes. Yes. I have got to where I know Natalie Neidhart.
Oh, come on, Kenny. Don't get worked by work. They're putting it on.
I'm getting worked. I hate them all.
They're putting on the Ritz.
I hate the Bella Twins.
It's a gimmick.
I hate Rusev. I hate Lana.
Don't get worked, Kenny. You're smarter than that.
They all come across as just, I don't know that they are, Steve.
They got you, Kenny. Real film. How many years you've been in the business of pro wrestling and they got you wrapped around their finger?
30 years, Steven. I'm telling you, it's real. That's really who those people are.
Oh, man. Those girls are all sweethearts. And Rusev is hilarious. Those are all cool people.
Except Lana.
No, man. She's cool. Do you watch into the Southpaw Pro Wrestling on YouTube?
A little bit. I haven't seen them all, but I've seen a few.
Oh,
Of course, my boy Cena's in there, so.
Oh, man, I just enjoy the shit out of that. I've been watching that, and Lana made an appearance with Rusev being the pig farmer. So I'm just really enjoying seeing that side of her character.
I haven't seen Rusev as the pig farmer, so now I got to do it just to see.
I mean, I'm going to start the chicken farmer. Fighting for the chickens. Back to The Walking Dead. Another major thing.
But where I was going to go, do you have any characters on there, not the intended heels, but that you just hate every time you see them?
Dwight, because you don't know whether Dwight's here or there.
Wow, you got that. There's a lot of people saying he might be a better heel than Negan.
Boy, I don't know about that.
Dwight and who's the guy with the mustache? Or he was the one they said might be a better heel than Negan, not Dwight.
Nah, nobody's a better heel than Negan.
Well, I agree with you there. I don't know how you get any better. But there's so you saw the teaser then with Negan doing the tomatoes. That was how that was supposed to end. Negan was supposed to be a babyface. Him and Carl. Right as rain, the little girl, you know, he basically adopts the little girl. And that was where it was supposed to go. So it was almost a slap in Negan's face. Yeah, this is what you were going to get. But apparently Carl got some heat with somebody and got axed off the show 3 years early. And here's what you could have had, but you ain't going to get it. It's almost like what they did to him.
But here's another thing. I think this was a time when Rick was going through a little bit of a change here a few episodes ago when Daryl was trying to shoot somebody and Rick knocked his gun up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, come on, man. What is up with that? So, I mean, Daryl's one of my favorite characters, always has been.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Have you ever watched Ride with him, the separate show that he has called Ride?
No, it ain't good.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's very good. And if you're going to watch one of them, watch the one where him and Jeffrey Dean ride through, I think, Paris. I think it's in France.
What's it about?
It's him on a motorcycle just riding around to just various places or places maybe where he used to live, meeting with the real fans. And, oh, my God, just a very interesting show. And the one with him and Negan, you got to see. Very, very good. And they both on motorcycles riding. Dave Chappelle did a show with him. Him and Dave Chappelle riding around, I think, somewhere in South Carolina. And just Dave Chappelle and just riding all over, meeting the people. Your boy sitting out there in the crowd while Dave Chappelle's doing a comedy bit, and Chappelle puts him over, and you got to check it out. I would watch the Chappelle one and the Negan one if you're not going to watch anything else.
Okay, I'll check them out. But as far as The Walking Dead goes, that's really about all I can remember from right now because I got to watch that last episode, which I missed Sunday. I was selling to the virus that I had. I got to catch up on that. You asked me what I watched. One thing I just started watching with my wife, she talked me into this. She said, you got to watch Ozark.
Ooh, I haven't seen that yet. What's that?
Oh, dude, man, it's about a guy who's in Chicago, and he launders money. Well, all of a sudden, the shit hits the fan, so he goes down to the Ozarks to start laundering money. That's just give you a heads up about what it's about. It's about money laundering.
Okay. All right.
So, but man, I'm four episodes in, binge watched them, just Netflix, just sitting there on my couch selling for the virus and watching Ozark. So that right now we're on season one. You can binge watch that, catch up. I don't know when they're going to drop season two, but dude, that's really worth watching. I'm highly into it.
I will take your suggestion on that. I'd like to recommend to you an old show that I used to watch, maybe if you did or didn't watch it. It did five seasons, starring Timothy Oliphant. Did you ever watch Justified?
No, man, I was going to.
Oh, man, that mining, me and Chris love Justified. I got into it late. I got about three seasons in late. I binged watched. I caught up in a hurry. Justified is badass, and it's about this badass sheriff. I'm sorry, he's not a sheriff. He is a United States federal marshal. God dang, I'm sitting there blanking out on his real name. I'm blanking out on his real name, but Timothy Oliphant plays him. And he plays a federal marshal in the Hazard, Kentucky area. You've probably done a show or two in Hazard, Kentucky. You know what the people are like in Hazard, Kentucky. You know what the cash crop is in Hazard, Kentucky. Moonshine and marijuana, the double M's. And he infiltrates with these people, and you're always hearing references made to Lexington, Louisville, Hazard, Pikeville, and all this crime going on. And he's down in there, and his dad, Timothy Oliphant's dad, used to be one of the biggest drug lords in all of Kentucky. And now he is a United States federal marshal, and he's there cleaning up some of the mess that his dad created. And it is a legit badass show. I think you would love it. And all the characters are great. You talk about how great the actors are in Walking Dead. I highly recommend Justified.
Man, I remember when it came out. I thought I was going to give it a try, but I just slipped my mind and just got off my radar. If you're giving me if you're giving that kind of an endorsement, I got to check it out.
Raylan Givens, United States Federal Marshal Raylan Givens. That's his name. And here's why I loved him. We both had identical black Lincoln Continentals. Lincoln Town cars. And when I was riding down the road, I said, well, how's it feel? What's it look like when Raylan Givens is on your ass, getting ready to pull you over and do a search of your trunk? How does that feel? And someone in my complex yelled, hey, do I know you? I said, yes, you do. I'm United States Federal Marshal Raylan Givens. I would never be Kenny Bolin. I was always Raylan Givens.
What year was your Lincoln?
That was a 2003. And it was identical to the one he drives in the show, and he had it for all five seasons. No matter what he did to this car, the next season it showed up looking brand new.
All right, I'm going to check it out.
Give it three episodes, and if you don't like it, I'll be shocked. He starts out in Miami, he does something he shouldn't have done, and then he ends up in Hazard, Kentucky.
All right, is there anything we didn't cover on The Walking Dead? I mean, we're all over the place. It's like the worst review from a chronological standpoint in the history of the podcast business, but I don't really give a shit because my podcast's not going to win an award. I'm just talking about some of my peccadillos and things that got under my skin during the filming of season eight.
Well, it's from that wrestling perspective. We're seeing it, and I'm blaming Shiva on Vince Russo, too. I think Russo wrote that, because anybody that would have wrote the damn show properly would have had 165 walkers, if not more, be the ones to tear him down, and Shiva would have took out about 55 of them damn walkers. But, oh, no, lays down, might have got a nibble on a couple of walkers, and then six of them eat him like he's a damn ham sandwich, and that ain't right, and Russo, I blame you.
I dig it.
Yeah. Got to blame somebody.
How many seasons can they continue The Walking Dead?
I think they're signed for a minimum of three more. Whether people like it or not, they're going three more seasons.
No, I'm still digging it, but there comes a time, and it's a fine line, Kenny, sometimes when you can always get heat and you can get more heat, but sometimes you got to give that baby face something.
Yeah.
With Rick's character, they've made him look so dumb, so gullible. I don't want to say dumb, because I mean this with all due respect, because I mean there's a lot of hard work and passion in that show, so I don't mean that in the wrong way, but I'm just talking about as a viewer who's invested, or from a guy coming from the wrestling world, and we're talking about storylines. I just think that they've made him look too gullible, too trustworthy, and all of a sudden he's trying to rally the troops. Is like, hey man, I don't know if I'm believing in this motherfucker anymore, because he keeps getting us in a lot of shit.
I don't know who your editor is, but he's got to bleep another one.
Bless you, bless your heart, Sean.
He's gonna earn his money tonight. That ain't Shawn Michaels doing your editing,
no,
is it?
I don't think so. He'd probably super kick me every time I dropped an F-bomb.
He's a Texas boy, too. I figured you might have thrown him a bone and got him some good work.
No. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But here was the love of the show. This is why people were so invested from the early days. And Christopher warned me about this, when we started watching the shows, he says, Dad, nobody's safe. Just when you're wrapped up in a character and you love him and you think he's the best damn thing ever, his ass is gone. And it might be a zombie that kills him. It might be someone in his own camp that kills him. It might be a rival tribe that comes in. I've been hearing about Negan for 7 years before I got to see him. I've been hearing, oh, because how did you like the governor? Did you like the governor?
No.
Oh, I love the governor. Oh, Steve.
The guy who comes crawling back to Maggie to try to get back in?
The patch over his eye, had his own place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I liked him. I'm talking about the guy who used to be in charge of the Hilltop, who's finagled his way back under Maggie. Yeah,
that piece of crap. I would beat the crap out of him and feed him into you for the stunner today if I could. I don't like that guy.
Here was another high spot we forgot to talk about was it Sasha? They had captured her, and they were going to put her in a coffin, and
yes.
Eugene had given her the iPod. I keep thinking, man, come on, man. Where is this going? Well, I don't know if in there was the capsule. And, you know, man, what a high spot when he took that thing off to unveil Sasha, and she had turned into a walker, damn near got Negan. He gets away.
Yes. Very close. Sudden,
but it was a good high spot, and for her to do the sacrifice thing, because she knew what was up.
And then how about Shiva doing the big run-in? God damn, there's a tiger! Did you hear Negan? Negan, he freaks over Sasha. God damn, they got a tiger! Is that what you're going to say when a tiger does a run-in on you?
God,
Russo wrote it.
And there was one other high spot I was fixing to talk about. Oh, yeah. Eugene. What is it? Is that his name, Eugene?
Eugene, yeah. Oh, my God. What a character. What a character.
I tell you what, man. That son of a bitch has got a motor mouth on him. Boy, when he starts talking all that mumbo-jumbo.
And you know what? He is smart as hell because I watch him. I know you don't watch Talking Dead, but I love it because you get some inside stuff that you don't get on the other shows, and they'll interview the cast and talk about how they did something. They'll show how the tiger was made and all that stuff. But Eugene is a bright SOB, man. He earned that spot, and I got all the respect in the world for it, because if they say, Kenny Boland, I want you to watch this thing. All right, we're killing Eugene, but you got to come in. You got to do what he's doing. We're going to pay you $8 million a year. Well, sorry. Can't do it. That is a wicked character, and how he says that it is not as easy for him as people think it is, that he's really got to work on it. And he says a lot of that shit is just ad-libbed right on the fly. He says, you know, if I mess it up, who knows other than me?
Really?
But it's a badass character, and no, I couldn't do that character in a million years. We all think we got a little acting ability in us, but I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, tell me about your YouTube show one more time.
The YouTube show debuts yesterday, because this is going to air the 6th, I take it, March the 6th? Yeah, but it debuted yesterday, but hopefully Steve's going to give me a plug on Twitter tonight. We're going to beg him. We're bribing him with headphones, ice cream hats, whatever I got down here I can bribe Mr. Austin with. I'm going to do it. And but it's going to be 9 o'clock every other Monday for the Bowling Alley YouTube Live edition. And then every Monday night at 7 o'clock, we do the Facebook Live edition. So that way we're doing 4 shows a month. I'm used to doing 1. Russo had me doing 12. So we're cutting that schedule down a little bit, because how damn much can my big fat butt say that people really want to hear? So we think that cutting it back to about 4 or 5 shows a month would be perfect. Once a month, we're going to let 8 people come on and do the show with us for a $49 donation to the Maul Boland Fund to raise money for her memorial. People were really seeming to dig it, and we're really hoping for a big show tonight. I think with a plug from you, we could have 100 million followers by the end of the night.
On Twitter, people can find you where?
They can find me at Starmaker Boland. That's where you'll find the links for the podcast for the future. You've missed this one, but you'll see the future ones. And you can also get me at /StarmakerBoland on Facebook. And I try to answer all the fan mail that I get. I obviously don't get the numbers that Mr. Austin gets, but I do what I can when I can. And I love doing these podcasts. Certainly love being here with Steve Austin tonight. And we have fun on my podcast, just like me and Steve are doing here. They're basically shooting the shit, speaking our mind, having a good time, answer all your questions, and come on over. I promise you, you'll have a good time, and if not, go watch somebody else.
Kenny, it was good talking to you.
I had a blast, Mr. Austin. It was a blast, and if we can ever talk about Walking Dead or Major League Baseball or football or anything you want to talk about other than wrestling, you let me know.
Copy that.
Get ready for Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame photographer has hit the podcasting scene. Each Tuesday, starting February 27th, Andy and co-host Jonas Wadler will chat with some of the world's most prestigious athletes of all time. Enjoy stories from life behind the scenes with the most decorated sports photographer in the business. Make sure to subscribe to Legends of Sport with Andrew D. Bernstein, beginning Tuesday, February 27th, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the brand new Podcast One app.
All right, everybody, give me a go home cue. It's time to wrap up his podcast and ride off in the sunset. Before I do that, I want to thank Kenny Boland for jumping on here and shooting a breeze about The Walking Dead. We had been talking about doing a podcast about The Walking Dead. We certainly probably could have been a lot more in-depth, but I ain't no scientist. I just watch the damn shows, and then I turn the TV off. That's about as in-depth as I can get. I don't know story arcs and plots and theories and all that shit. Anyway, I enjoyed talking with Kenny. If you ain't seen The Walking Dead, I suggest you give it a try. If you watch about 3 or 4 episodes, you will be hooked. For some people, the violence is a little bit too much. For me, I think it's a phenomenal show, and I dig it. Got a lot of respect for everybody who's working on that project, and that's the bottom line. Hey, man, ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin has all my Broken Skull Ranch shirts. The best damn IPA on the planet is Broken Skull IPA. You can find it at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in Cali. If you don't live in Cali, check InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. I highly suggest that everybody carry a quality pocket knife. I got 2 of them. Check out either the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife or the new Cold Steel Working Man's Knife. You can get them at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to Amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. I want to say one more thank you to all the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. You can find all my sponsors at PodcastOne.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and then click on the Steve Austin Show banner. Speaking of Podcast One, they got a new Podcast One app that's now available for download at the App Store or Google Play. There ain't another podcast app like this one anywhere, and that's because the new Podcast One app is loaded with some cool features that let you do a lot more than just listen to your favorite shows. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, articles, and connect with other fans of the shows you like. And you can watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos. You can actually watch some of your favorite shows in virtual reality. It's like you're sitting right in the same room with them. So get to the App Store or Google Play and download the new Podcast One app now. Folks, I am on social media. If you want to follow me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at SteveAustinBSR. Folks, until next time, my name is Steve Austin, and I'll catch your ass down the road.
This has been a Podcast One production. Download new episodes of The Steve Austin Show every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.